Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 12 to chapter 2 verse 26. This is a huge passage to preach on one sermon, but this whole passage points to one lesson that we should learn. As we heard last week, this book was written by Solomon at the end of his life. This is the warning or exhortation of Solomon to those who love the world more than God, and to those who seek joy in the world and not in God. This book motivates us to find joy in God. This is called as OT Philippians. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 12 to chapter 2 verse 26. This portion is the testimony of King Solomon about how foolish he was, that he was seeking the pleasures of this world, earthly pleasures. So that is Solomon. Look at verse 12 says, I the preacher have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. He has tried all kinds of worldly pleasures. He earnestly tried to have joy in different things on the earth. He was disappointed by those who concluded that we should run to God for a happy life on earth. A sinful and logical question may arise. Someone may say that he tried all things, tasted all things. Now he is telling us, is it fair? I want to try all things and conclude. This is a waste of time, energy. It is sinful as well. Our fathers say to us many times, I have made this time, don't do that. Do you know, brothers and sisters, even companies want experienced employees because they don't want the same mistake that they made before. You should have a friendship with elders who have more experience than you. They make the right decisions and the right choice most of the time. Let me read some of the key verses from chapter 1 verse 12 to chapter 2 verse 26. Chapter 1 verse 13 says, And I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. It is grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. Verse 17, which says, I set my mind to know wisdom, to know madness and folly. Chapter 2 verse 1. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasures. So enjoy yourself, and behold, it was futility. I said of laughter, it is madness. And of pleasure, what does it accomplish? Verse 4. I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself. And I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. Look at verse 8. Also I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasures of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. Verse 12. I turned to consider wisdom, madness and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king, except what has already been done? And I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. Look at verse 16. There is no lasting remembrance of wise man as with the fool, in as much as in the coming days will be forgotten. Then verse 18 says, Thus I hated all fruit of my labor, for which I had labor under sun. for I must leave it to the man who will come after me. Then he concludes with this testimony, verse 24. There is nothing better for man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen that it is from the hand of God. Verse 25. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? So the theme of this testimony of Solomon is, don't pursue happiness outside of God. Don't pursue happiness outside of God. Three enlightening facts from Solomon's testimony that warns us not to pursue joy outside of God. The first enlightening fact from his testimony is, earthly pleasures lead to unhappiness. Earthly pleasures lead to unhappiness. Chapter 1 verse 13 to chapter 2 verse 11. Here, three types of earthly pleasures that lead to unhappiness. The first type of earthly pleasure is investigating things leads to misery. Investigating things leads to misery. Verse 13 to 18. Look at verse 13, part A, which says, I set my mind. Literally, I gave my heart. I gave myself completely to seek, to explore. They are closely related verbs in this verse. The verb to seek is to inquire about, to investigate, to study. This verb is used literally of the physical activity of investigating a matter by examining the physical evidence. The idea is investigating abstract concepts. Then another verb which is similar to seek is to explore, which means to seek out, discover. It is used literally of physical action of exploring physical territory. Example, you can think Vasco da Gama discovered the way to Goa. So that is called exploring. Solomon, he is exploring, discovering things, investigating things by his wisdom. So what happens? He said, verse 13 part B, it is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. The idea is that this is a rotten business, an unpleasant task. There is an emptiness in exploring and investigating things on earth. Verse 14 part B says, behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. He tried to solve the problems of the world, but he was not able to do that. Verse 15, what is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. The crooked or bent refers to irregularities in life. God has bent it. No one will make it straight. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 13 says, consider the work of God, for who is able to strengthen what he has bent? For example, knowing the constitution of your country, you see the leaders and people of society who do not follow. You can't do anything. You discovered all the different types of sickness, but you don't know how to heal them. You discovered problems in life, but you don't know how to solve them. The Solomon was tried all things. But do you know, brothers and sisters, Solomon was truly the wisest man on earth in his days. He has a wealthy wisdom and knowledge. Even the Queen of Sheba came to seek wisdom from him concerning his life. He realized that he is striving after the wind. Verse 17 part B. Literally, he is chasing the wind. Brothers, we can't catch the wind by chasing it. He concludes that it leads to much grief and pain. Verse 18. So the first type of pleasures he runs after, that is investigating things that leads to misery, that leads to pain and grief. Discovering all problems under heaven, but you are not able to solve a single problem. It hurts you more, right? That's what Solomon is saying. Studying the Greek and Hebrew and all 10 branches of systematic theology and the techniques of preaching can be painful if you don't use them for God. Sometimes good things become sorrowful if it does not for God. The second type of earthly pleasure that leads to unhappiness is experiencing foolish pleasures leads to displeasures. Experiencing foolish pleasures leads to displeasures. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure. So enjoy yourself. And behold, it too was futility. Look at chapter 2, verse 1, especially this word, pleasure. It can refer to foolish pleasure, self-indulgent, merrymaking, partying, that pleasure that comes from party. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 4, the mind of the wise is in the house of mourning, while the mind of fools in the house of pleasure, the house of party. Verse 2, he tried a laughter also. So after having the luxury parties and the things, so he ran after laughter, the joy, the comedy. One commentator says that laughter refers to the tickling of the heart with jokes and humor. Solomon says that laughter is madness, foolishness. Pleasure, the laughter appear in the context of banqueting, drinking and parties. So he was running after parties and banquet and enjoying himself, running after foolish pleasures. Look at verse 2. He said, what does it accomplish? The answer is nothing. Verse 3. He says he explored simulating his body with wine. He wants to enjoy with the wine. The meaning of exploring is to seek out, to spy out. To simulate his body with wine is literally to cheer his body with wine. He wants to make his body happy, joyful with wine. He decided how long he should drink wine. Verse 3 part B says, until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven, the few years of their life. This refers to the purpose of drinking. Brothers and sisters, he has tasted all pleasures which give happiness to heart and body. He concluded that it was madness. It does accomplish nothing for spiritual life. What are the pleasures that you want to enjoy? Food, wine, jokes that bring you displeasure at the point of time? This will disappoint you. It does not help you to draw near to Christ. The third type of earthly pleasure that leads to unhappiness is getting a rich status leads to dissatisfaction. Getting rich status. He possessed 6 great things that prove his rich status. The first possession that he has is huge buildings. Look at verse 4. He built houses for himself. Not only he has used buildings, he has gardens and parks. Verse 4, part B, planted vineyards for himself. Verse 5, he made gardens and parks for himself and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. Verse 6, he made ponds of water for himself to water these gardens and trees. These are referring to the enclosed parks, gardens for the kings. Only he can enjoy that. Not for commoners, not for others in that kingdom. Only he can enjoy those privileges, like, you know, having gardens and parks. Not only he has gardens and parks, see, he possessed slaves. Verse 7, he owns male and female slaves. Some were born in his house. He owns flocks, herds larger than anyone who lived in Jerusalem. And he owns treasures. Verse 8, he gathered for himself silver, gold, treasures for kings. Not only that, he owns entertainers. Verse 8 says, he hired the great singers, Hollywood, Bollywood singers, he hired. Then verse 8, part B says, he owns many concubines. Verse 9 says that he became great and increased more than all who lived in Jerusalem. He is a rich man in that world. His heart was pleased because of all this possession. Verse 10, he says. But see the conclusion. Verse 11. He says that, behold, all was vanity and striving after wind. There was no profit under the sun. Here, no profit means profitless, fruitless, futile. It also refers to no satisfaction. Brothers and sisters, in general, to become a pastor is to become poor. You may lose your rich status, or you may not get rich status because your faithful ministry. Don't feel bad. Rich status results in dissatisfaction. Learn how to be content with what God has given us. Satisfied with food and things that you need for daily life. There is a warning against those who love riches. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evils. And some by aspiring to it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So we should be careful. Even though you are becoming a poor because of ministry, because of your faithfulness in ministry, all pastors and these charismatic pastors becoming rich by proclaiming prosperity gospel, that you preach the word, you preach the truth. Don't preach the word of God, don't do the ministry for the sake of money, to become rich. So Solomon is testifying to you from his heart, that does not give satisfaction even though you have richness. So that leads us to see the second enlightening fact from Solomon's testimony is, earthly success does not last forever. Earthly success does not last forever. Chapter 2 verse 12 to 23. In this passage, he focuses on the future of his all achievements and success. In this passage, he talks about his death. What happens to him after his death? So he is explaining to us the worldly success, earthly success does not last forever. Are you a successful man in this world? That success does not last forever. That's what Solomon is saying in his testimony. Two proofs. The first proof that earthly success does not last forever is, your wise living will be forgettable. your wise living will be forgettable. Verse 12 to 17, it says, so I turn to consider wisdom, madness and folly. The idea is that he reflects on the benefits in life, in living wisely. Chapter 1 verse 13 to 18 refers to discovering, investigating things under heaven, but this refers to wise living under heaven. Verse 13 to 14, Solomon says that wisdom or wise walking is better than foolishness. That's true. Verse 13, he says, I saw that wisdom excels folly as a light excels darkness. Being wise is more profitable than being a fool. Verse 14, he says, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. The word eye is used figuratively in Hebrew. It refers to mental spiritual ability. A wise person has mental spiritual ability, but a fool walks in darkness means that he does not know anything about spiritual things. Verse 15, he realizes that one who lives wisely also dies along with fool. He questioned himself that, why then have I been extremely wise? Why I walked extremely wisely? So I said to myself, it is too vanity. It is too vanity. He understood that the benefits of wisdom are ultimately meaningless, emptiness. Because verse 16 he says that all will be forgotten. All will be forgettable. The wise man and fools. No one remembers a wise man after his death. He dies like a fool. Verse 17, he hated life. All his wise living was grievous, chasing after wind. Brothers and sisters, wise living on earth is commendable, but there is no use in having wise living for earthly life without God. Many wise men on the earth were forgotten by people. The second proof that earthly success does not last forever is your hard work will be given to the next generation. Your hard work will be given to the next generation. Look at verse 18. He hated all the fruit of his labor, for he must leave it to the man who will come after me. That is his successor, our second generation. Verse 19, a fool may control of all the achievements of his labor, that is his pain. It is meaningless or empty. All his hard works were indeed gone today. You know, the temple that he built is gone. His buildings is gone. His gardens and parks is gone. All his hard works is gone. I know one uncle who has so many lands and properties, gold. He worked hard to become a rich man. He had to sell some of his lands and properties to clear the debt that his son had taken loans with more interest for the sake of betting. He lost more than 1 crore rupees in IPL cricket betting. Can you see that? The father and parents, they work hard, they achieved things, but what happening? Next generation, they can be fooled. They can destroy all those achievements and the fruit of that labor. Look at the words of Solomon in verse 22. For what does a man get in all his labor and in his striving with which he labors under the sun? Because all his days his task is painful and grievous. Literally it means his work produces pain and frustration. Even at the night his mind does not rest. This too is vanity. sleepless night, right? Brothers, think about it. Even we pastors should not make our ministry as idol. Some love their ministry and they plant the church and think that their ministry will last forever. You don't know, sometimes your successor, next generation, may lose the zeal that you have in the ministry. Just do your work, finish the work that God has given to you. Don't worry about the future of the church you are going to plant, that you will preach for many years. Christ does not build his church on the glory of man. When a man of God is praised more than Christ, Christ will remove the church, discipline the church. You know, the one more aspect, one more implication I should draw from this passage is, some pastors, they work hard planting 100 churches, 50 churches, and they are not focusing on their local church. And they don't have time for family and relaxation, taking rest, spending time with family, and planting so many churches and running here and there, which is unbiblical. What brings to you? It is grievous task. It is painful task. That hard work will be destroyed by next generation, because these men planting churches unbiblically. So he has explained to us, earthly pleasures leads to unhappiness. That is the first enlightening fact. Second enlightening fact is, earthly success does not last forever. Then what we should do? Where I can find joy? That is the conclusion. The third enlightening fact from Solomon's testimony that warns us is, the true joy comes only from God. True joy comes only from God. Verse 24 to 26. God is the source of our joy. That is the first fact you should understand. Look at verse 24-25, which says that there is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. I have also seen that it is from the hand of God. So there is a fact that the source of joy comes from God. Verse 25, for who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? No one can have joy and enjoyment without him. When poor man, rich man, uneducated, educated, different the tribes and tongues, all people can have enjoyment only in him, because of him. That's what Solomon is concluding it. Oh Baba, I tried everything. I was running after the earthly pleasures, worldly pleasures, but I was disappointed. Then I think about my achievements, my wise living, but that will be destroyed after my death. It does not last forever. So where I will find joy? From God. God is the source of our joy. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 15. So I commended pleasure, for there is nothing good for man under the sun, except to eat and to drink and to marry. This will stand by himself in his toils throughout the days of his life, which God has given him under the sun. God is the source of our joy. What is the joy? He said, to eat and drink, to be satisfied with what God has given to us. Daily needs, daily bread. Even Jesus taught a prayer in Matthew chapter 6 verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Not only God is the source of our joy, the second fact we see that God gives joy to the one who pleases Him. Verse 26. For to a person who is good in his sight, he has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. Good in his sight literally means one who pleases him. It is possible when a person trusts in Jesus and imitate God. But he uses sinners to give joy to the godly ones who pleases him. Verse 26, part B. While to the sinner he has given the task of gathering and collecting so that he may give to one who is good in God's sight. This too is vanity and striving after wind. Someone summarized this verse rightly. God gives the righteous the ability to prosper, to find enjoyment in his work. But to the sinner, he gives the task of giving his wealth to righteous. The lesson, conclusion is, don't run after earthly pleasures. You will be disappointed. Don't think about all your achievement, all your wise living. That will not last forever. Where you will get fine joy? Only in God. May God strengthen us to have happiness in Him and not in the world. Amen.